Hey guys, welcome to Red Owl Politics. Today is October 2nd, 2020. The world has just changed. Overnight, news came out that President Trump has been diagnosed with COVID-19, tested positive for COVID-19. So has First Lady Melania Trump. I can't emphasize this enough. This is the October surprise of the October surprises. Very unexpected, very unfortunate. It's thought at this point that the president contracted COVID-19 from one of his aides, Hope Hicks, and she has recently come out and said that she has been tested positive for the virus. So this is a fast-moving news story. Obviously, we're still digesting everything, but considering that the president does have several concerning factors, pre-existing conditions that could potentially make his experience with COVID worse than others, it definitely makes us take a pause. I know there's a lot of liberals out there in the Twitter world and on television that are just giddy and happy and over the moon about this news and wish ill on the president. And I just want to speak to you directly. Shame on you. Shame on you for wishing ill on somebody that you disagree with politically. That is what's wrong with this country. This moment should be a moment to bring us together. Our president is ill. Our president has contracted a deadly virus. It's not a moment for you to celebrate on the Twitterverse. And that's what a lot of them are doing. Politically, it's still unknown what this is going to represent. Obviously, President Trump will not be doing his scheduled rallies or fundraising events. And it's unknown whether he will be participating in the second presidential debate against Biden. As of now, there is no information indicating that Vice President Pence has been infected with the virus, and he should be able to go forward with the vice presidential debate next week. But the political ramifications of this are unknown. As we're recording this introduction, markets are dipping on the news of President Trump's infection, and it's very concerning. And the betting markets are also now saying there's a better chance for a Biden victory. Obviously, this is all initial reaction, and I had the same when I heard the news, but it's way too early to call. If the president continues to be asymptomatic, I think that will be a sigh of relief for the country. We need a president that's healthy, capable, and competent to do his job, and the political ramifications will be what they will be. Obviously, if he recovers quickly, he can now talk about his strength, his ability to endure, and also push through. If he starts to have symptoms and is in ailing health, I'm not sure how the public will digest that information and how that will play into public's opinion about COVID. Obviously, if people are concerned about the president's health, I think you will see people becoming increasingly more cautious now as news spreads and people become aware of this. Again, it's too early to say what the political ramifications are. I do caution Democrats out there. Don't do the dance yet. Don't do the celebratory dance. It's too early for you to dance on his grave. And I'm saying this very sternly. Do not overplay your hand. You can point out that this is an example of why we need to be cautious with the virus, why we need to take precautions, but do not be celebratory that President Trump has contracted the virus. I caution you, but most of you are going to do as you will. It's important to note that this is going to be a hurdle, and this is going to derail the campaign efforts a bit. That's just important to acknowledge. Does this mean that Trump is out of the game? Absolutely not. There's still 30 plus days before the election. That's a lifetime in politics, as all of you know. So guys, it's definitely going to be an interesting next few weeks. Here at Right Owl Politics, we sent President Trump a big virtual hug and wish him the best and hope he makes a speedy recovery. The same to First Lady Melania Trump. God bless, and I hope they both recover quickly. Today's show was going to be about analyzing the presidential debate and the ramifications and what was our takeaways. So without further ado, let's jump into that analysis. But after today's news, it almost seems like that's a political century away. So let's jump right in.
Hello.
Hey, Carlos. Good. So this time we're doing it the responsible way. We're recording the day before.
Yes, we are. We're not. I don't have a coffee in my hand, and it's not 6 a.m.
Speak for yourself.
Great for you, Chris. I am super excited that you're on this because I always needed a Chris Wallace with your wife.
Oh, God, no. I refuse.
No, it's okay. You can debate me. It's fine.
No. You'll take him on and you'll take me on, huh?
Absolutely.
And that one was not a good Chris.
No, so, that certainly was not a good Chris.
So, Carlos, tell me, after watching that debate, are you ready to vote for Biden?
You know, I'm super excited for the best team for Black Lives Matter and Tifa and no rules team. That's Biden. And I'm so happy that's on the ticket.
But actually, Antifa doesn't exist.
It's oh, just no. Antifa's an idea. Oh, because ideas have guns and machine and, you know, like AK-47s. But I didn't know an idea that had one. So I'm glad the media has taught me that ideas have those.
So I just want to start with this. First off, they need to change the stage. As far as I can remember, it's been the same stage for these debates every 4 years. I think the only difference this year is they added a little bit more red.
But well, if they do any change, then it's like, oh, they're taking away red, white, and blue. They're taking away a flag. They didn't have enough flags.
Are we really criticizing? I mean, okay, fine. Whatever. You do whatever you want. As an interior designer, I get it. You want to, you know, change up the background dynamics to debates, whatever. That's not what the biggest issue to last the other night was. I think that, and I said this to my friend, I was like, I said, a debate is only as good as the moderator who is controlling it. And you cannot blame the personalities or the characteristics of the person who is in the debate field. It is your job as a moderator to do your job, moderate, ask questions, allow them to answer, and, oh my God, dare I say it, don't question back.
The thing is, though, they really did need to give Chris Wallace a mute button because I'm going to vote for Trump, but there was a few times that dude needed to shut the F up.
I get that, but at the same time, I think that, okay, so Here's a person who has been attacked by all forms of media, all forms of correspondence. Agreed. There was no winning this debate on his side.
Sure.
You wake up the next morning, Biden won the debate, hands down. It was a complete failure in America, but Biden won the debate. How is it a failure to America, but Biden won the debate? I don't understand. But here's my perspective. If I have to be on the defensive towards the person asking me the questions and the person who I'm debating against, I'd be a little tiffed too. And I'd be really angry. And I would be like, okay, well, why don't you make sure that the other person answers your question? Because if you're not going to let him answer your question or you're not going to be forceful about it, I certainly will.
So let me call you out on that, though. Don't you agree that nowadays a moderator has to become the center focus of the discussion because otherwise people won't watch?
So you're saying that, actually, I think what you're saying is what Germany related to the next day, because of course I had to read all the Europeans decide to tell me that our debate was an embarrassment to American democracy when if you look at European debates, they're much worse and they're much more hilarious. But regardless of that, I think their viewpoint is you got what you paid for. It was both entertaining. The moderator did his job by rallying each other up against each other and basically did his job by basically trying to debate Trump himself. Trump. So I think the argument there is that if you're going to do this, you know, I mean, Chris Wallace has interviewed the president over 50 times since his coming to the White House. It's not like Chris Wallace kind of woke up one day and said, you know, I think the president will be a very different person today. And it's not like, and Chris Wallace at the same time has also interviewed Biden. It's not like, no, Biden's going to do much better today. That's not how it goes.
He helped Biden on several occasions.
Oh, what? On what account? On what account? On the justice account? Like, will you attack more people? He never answered it. And I don't understand how we didn't have more time as to why he wouldn't answer the question.
Well, because how the way the segments were structured were ridiculous. Instead of having segments, very strict segments, it should be topic areas and let them have the conversation as they see fit.
That's bingo, 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 bingo. I said that to my friend this afternoon. The way that the moderator organized the entire questionnaire was completely and utterly erroneous. How can I talk about COVID-19 but yet not talk about the economy? How do I talk about racial relationships in the United States but not talk about safety and policing? How do I talk about...
You know why he did that? Because I'm going to put my lawyer hat on. What he was doing is called linear questioning. He's trying to keep the conversation going as he has drafted it. So he's not adapting to the conversation. So instead of just adapting and overcoming when Trump brings up an economic argument and guiding the conversation that way, no, he wants the conversation to go exactly as he has it written down with no deviation.
Yeah, except Trump is Trump. And by the way, Biden also presented the same falsehoods, right? Did you know that we had a Trump recession? Because I didn't know that. I didn't face a recession, did you? I mean,
that was such a disingenuous argument. I mean, maybe some people that have been disconnected will believe that, but if you've been even casually following the news, you're going to call BS on that.
Yeah, but I'm serious. The lowest unemployment rate for African Americans, Latinos, Asians, and alike in January. And you're saying that I was in a recession? COVID-19 is a extraordinary situation that is above anyone's control, and therefore its ramifications are forgivable, right? I got cancer. Why am I to blame that I got cancer? You don't blame the cancer patient for his ailment. You try to help him.
Blame the victim.
And you saw how they were trying to push under the rug Trump's successful economic story.
Because there's no question. Obama added 133 million jobs, which was bigger than what you... Okay, but no one likes to talk about how he built those jobs and the ramifications of it. Income stagnation was at an all-time high during his administration. I know for my own personal business stance, everyone was like, well, hold the phone. We don't know what the economics are going to look like in a year. So regardless of that, I mean, regardless of the Obama years, my viewpoint is very simple. And by the way, I don't judge Obama by his first term or second term. I judge him on his 8 years in office. So that was another thing. You can take facts and present them in the manner in which you want to present them, in the manner in which you believe them to be true. But if you want to be a historian about it, you can't just say, well, we're going to look at Obama's first term and second term independently of each other and present facts independently of each other, because that's not how that works. Obama was in power for 8 years, not four.
Chris?
Well, I think one of the things that I find funny about all of this, they still have never answered the whole thing. Trump brings it up every time, and I think he's right to bring it up, is he's the one that did the travel bans, and everyone screamed racist, and turns out that was the right thing to do. And they'll never even discuss that. Well, they don't even allow it to be discussed.
Chris, I have to remind people that it was not Trump, the CDC, or any American Health Institute, but the World Health Organization in January 14th. And by the way, for all of those who want to fact check me, please, please go to wonderful Twitter and look it up. In the 14th of January, the WHO said clearly that there is no evidence that COVID-19 is transferable between human to human contact. That was January 14th, 2020. This wasn't like November or like, you know, September. This was January. He closes down everything by February. He is trying. He actually closes the economy by March. We're trying to get a grasp of what this is by late March, early April, and you can't destroy the timeline to fit your narrative. You have to understand the narrative for what it is.
Yes, they can, because the media is complicit.
Well, what they're doing is this, the whole thing of repeat a lie enough times, people start to believe it. They can simultaneously say he ruined the economy and he didn't do enough. So he was somehow supposed to stop this thing single-handedly without ruining the economy. And it's just like, no. If it would have been a Democrat, they would have ruined the economy worse. We actually would have people dying, not of COVID, of
starvation. Everything else.
They would still die of COVID, but then so we would still have 200,000 dead. We would just also have an additional 2 million dead because of starvation, suicide, all these other things. And probably really honestly, the amount of people that would have died of COVID still would have been higher.
Well, I think that so 2 points, right? So the first point is economic lockdowns don't save you from COVID. Economic lockdowns allow your hospitals to understand and accept the patients necessary for COVID circumstances. So I think that we got to a position where it didn't, even here in Miami-Dade, we were a little bit like worried that the hospitals were being overrun, but we never had a situation where a patient didn't get a hospital bed, or a patient didn't get a therapeutic, or a patient didn't get
the ventilators.
So therefore the economic shutdown, at how I was sold to it, what was sold to me about it, was we have to do this because if we don't do this, we can't guarantee the necessary equipment and the necessary personnel to provide you the health care that you deserve. That's how it was sold to me. So
it was flatten the curve. And then after that, we're just trying to keep it even. We already know that, you know, X number of people are going to catch this.
Yeah.
They're going to catch it. We can't stop it. We can only slow it down.
Correct. And not only that, at the end of the day, even lockdowns present their own problems. You're going to increase cases regardless. There's no such thing as a real lockdown, is what I'm trying to say. Human beings are not known or understanding of lockdowns, let alone Americans.
So let me ask you this, Carlos. What do you think it was Trump's weakest moment?
I think Trump's weakest moment is that and I agree with you, and I'm going to be honest, we had this conversation prior to this podcast, and you're right. I think that, and don't quote me, I don't always say that. I think you're right. I think that if Trump had only let Biden finish his statement, he'd be better off.
Especially, he started to lose it, and all he had to do was just let him finish his deranged thought, like where he started going into, 200,000 people died, and some of them survived, and what? Just... all you have to do is let him. Like, if you just shut the blank up.
But to be honest, I don't think he blew up. Yeah, I agree. I just don't think he blew up for malicious purposes. He blew up because he was defending everyone in his administration that did a good job. I think that in his viewpoint is, I did the best I could. I had the best people that I thought I could have on it. And I think we all did a good job because of it. And I think we're better for it. And you as the outsider are coming in saying, well, you did this wrong, but you don't even know what you're talking about.
I think, though, that we have to understand something. Trump is adversarial. He's a tough guy. He's not going to be just complacent while somebody, in his view, besmirches him and his administration. So if we thought this was going to become a gentleman's disagreement, I don't know where people have been in the last 4 years.
No, this is not a gentleman's disagreement. I agree with that. And I think it got worse when Biden said, I'm not here to talk about our families and we can talk about your children all night long. And I think when you poke the bear at his kids, when his kids have sacrificed their salaries to work for dad in the White House, dad gets really annoyed because dad's kids didn't take advantage of a situation. They actually sacrificed to do that.
What do you think was Trump's strongest moment?
I think it's okay. So I think that regardless of how you saw it, there were some funny points.
Oh, it was entertaining. I was laughing within the first 10 minutes.
No kidding. I think that the first, I have three strong points. The first strong point is that, Joe, if you're going to claim you're smart, you can stop now. You're not smart. You're the least smart person I know.
That was funny. Yes, that was funny.
That was my first top point. And of course, this is also negatively charged by the media. So there's that. But the other one was when Biden didn't describe which son he was describing, but was describing Bo. And then he was like, who are you talking about, Joe? What are you talking about, Bo? Well, I don't know Bo, but I know Hunter.
Yeah.
That was another good point. I thought that was a strong point. I think the and at the same time, I think his viewpoint is like, Joe, you were in office for 47 years. What the hell did you do in 47 years?
Yeah.
What?
I think the line was, I've done more in 47
months than I did in 47 years.
Yeah.
That was a really good line.
Yeah.
That one was solid.
Yeah. What about you, Chris? What do you think was Trump's strongest moment?
So when he was given the chance to speak on his own, I think he did pretty good. I really just wish he would have given Biden enough rope to hang himself. Because my frustration was when the moderator does tell you, hey, you need to stop, you should stop. I was not expecting gentlemanly behavior because mm-hmm. this is Trump mm-hmm. and it's Biden. Oh, by the way, Biden is not very gentlemanly. We all remember what he did during the vice presidential debates. We also remember him saying, oh, well, I've told my wife if the house is getting kicked into, just grab a shotgun and just start blasting outside.
Well, I also remember him saying after the Affordable Care Act being passed, he said to Obama, and I quote, that was a real effing deal. So we all know where Biden comes from as far as his perspective of decorum and.
And I love how the media paints this picture that Biden is such the better man compared to Trump. Yeah, this is the man and more presidential and more respectful. Yet it was Biden who went personal first, calling Trump a clown.
Oh, the worst president we've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yep.
I thought that was funny, though. When he did say that, that was funny. And that's also when Chris Wallace, it was kind of his. I know Chris Wallace was frustrated, so I get it.
I would be pissed off
if I was Chris Wallace.
No, I wouldn't.
But he really did need to step up at that point. Say, all right, you know what? Stop it because we're going to raise the decorum here.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't do that.
Chris,
I also thought it was improper how Chris Wallace was laughing with Biden against Trump. That was a really bad image for Wallace.
Well, the problem is that Chris Wallace should have understood. I mean, again, this is not the first time you interview Trump. This is not the first time you talk to Biden. You know who's first. No, Chris, if I were your moderator and you were attacking somebody or you were debating someone else and I know who that person is, it's not that I would treat you differently. My viewpoint was I now know how to deal with you in a competitive space because I now know your personalities. Chris Wallace failed in accepting what he has learned from his own experiences to adapting to his ego. His ego took over that night. His ego completely took over.
Counterpoint. I have to ask, though, what did he have available? It didn't seem like he had the tools available to enforce order because he really did need a mute button.
I really disagree.
Wanted him to have
I actually think that the problem that Chris Wallace had was the organization of questions themselves. I agree with Ariana. He had he had a linear lawyer perspective to the questionnaire, and he was unrelentingly dogmatic about it. And unfortunately, when
I disagree.
Okay, all right. Well, I think that, again, a debate, and I've been in debate teams before, the debate is only as good as the moderator who's asking the question. And my viewpoint, in my own experience.
So, and us coming from our different perspectives, I'm coming at this from my program manager's perspective. If I'm hosting a meeting, I am going to have an agenda. And yes, it can be fluid. Yes, it can shift. Yes, things can come in and change things. But you do need to maintain some sort of order. And so one of the things that was a bit frustrating is I don't think he was even allowed to maintain order. At some point, something needs to be done so that, okay, we stop, we pause, we break. Now we're on to the next topic.
So do you agree that both campaigns should agree to a mute button?
None of those are going
to
agree to
a mute button. No, but I'm asking Chris, do you want them to allow the moderator to have a mute button?
I think they should. And here's the thing. I honestly believe it will be used against the candidate that I prefer, but I think that he did need to be, somebody needed to shut him off. I would, if I was the moderator, I literally would have been like, I agree with you, but you got to stop now. And I would have to bring out my command voice. And if I had to stand up and start yelling, I would have. But whatever I needed to do to shut him the hell up so that we can then get back to order.
And but by the way, to be fair, it wasn't Trump who started it. It was Biden who interrupted first.
Yeah, but at the same time, I mean, who do you blame?
Disagree.
I'm not going to disagree with your statement, Ariana. I disagree with the logic. My viewpoint is it doesn't matter who starts it. Someone had to be the bigger person.
Yeah, but the focus is, oh, it's Trump's behavior that was the problem. Biden was interrupting just as
much. I mean, that's arguable too. But my viewpoint is that the same time, and as the Chris, I'm sorry, Chris, you're actually not the Chris Wallace in this perspective. Your wife is. So my viewpoint is very clear. I think that I disagree with the idea that they should have a mute button only because if I were in his position, if I am POTUS and I'm in a position where I had the best unemployment numbers in record 40-year history in January, and here comes this bohunk old geezer telling me that I caused a recession, I would be beyond infuriated too.
But here's to Chris's point about a meeting. A meeting is different from a debate.
Well, you and I have a different perspective because we were in debate class and we were in debate together.
Well, yeah. Chris is coming at it from a leadership perspective, but a meeting and a debate are two different things. So when you have an agenda at a meeting and it's structured, that makes sense because you have objectives to accomplish.
And you have a superior. In a debate, right. The moderator is the least ego person in the room. It's someone who is like it is worse than a judge. They don't decide anything because what is decided upon is what the participants decide upon. All you get to do is try to organize the debaters to a common ground in questioning. That's it.
So, but how do you, when all else fails, and if you're the moderator and the people you're trying to moderate are not obeying,
you had it wrong there. It's not about obeying.
Then that's no, the problem.
No, you let them do what they want to do. Rule? That is their prerogative. Your prerogative is to ask the non-biased question and not question the answers coming to you. You see, on the opposite perspective, like for example, if you're in a meeting, I agree with you. You have a perspective. You have a clear destination of what needs to be answered. And you are the person who is putting the other person in that meeting to task to answer it. At a debate, I don't have a control of what the answer is. I will never have that control, and I will never be able to make that person answer my question. I can only try to verbalize the question in a way that requires them to answer it in a certain way. But aside from that, have no control. The only control you have is on time. And to which I agree with you, Chris, I think that Trump interrupted more than he should have. But at the same time, Trump didn't say or do anything that I thought was out of line in the debate anyway.
Well, so here's...
Guess what, America? Here's my you problem. Saw a real thing.
Coming back from, you know, what are our backgrounds? Something we're taught in the military. A rule that is not enforced is not correct. A rule. So if you're going to tell me that a moderator has no power, no enforcement power, then there are no rules. So are you telling me that this thing had no rules or didn't have rules? Okay, so
Chris, in debate, there are rules, yes. But the rules are only dependent on the participants participating in them. And what does that mean? Well, if they want to say, well, you know, F you, and the other person says, well, F you too, the moderator doesn't have a lot of power to stop those statements. As you clearly saw in the debate, Biden said, you are the worst president in U.S. history, and Chris Wallace did nothing.
Or calling him a clown.
And Chris Wallace did nothing.
Yet he was jumping in to discuss, oh, sir, you're out of time. But when it got personal between the debaters, he didn't step in. That would have been a good point for him to step in as a moderator.
To remind them. Honestly, if I was a moderator, I would tell both of them in each situation, we are not here to discuss.
But both of you have just said he has no power.
Okay, it's not about you're taking this from an extreme perspective. It's not about the moderator not having any power. It's that they have a realm of power, but at the end of the day, they're not.
Yeah, they're not the show.
Who cares about the moderator? It's the debaters themselves that control the rhythm of debate. So when
disagree because you agreed to a time. So when the moderator says you are out of time and you keep talking, you have now destroyed all semblance of order. And so if we're going to have a yelling match, call it a yelling match. Don't call it a debate.
Here's the thing. The moderator should never can call time, but should not get into a verbal argument with the debater about that.
So
just let Trump ramble for hours.
Go to Biden and ask a question. And that way you can drown out Trump. Not start arguing with Trump. You need to be quiet. Your time is up.
Chris Wallace had his absolute right to say, to remind the president that his time was objectively over. But I think where Chris Wallace stepped over the line was, well, Mr. President, that certainly is not true if you said this. That is where Chris Wallace stepped over the line, because you are the moderator, not the debater. It's not up to you to fact check the president. It's up to the person next to it's the person who's the adversary to fact check the adversary, not the moderator. The moderator is only there to remind them what the rules are or what the at least the perceived moderation. Listen, guys, you're here to debate yourselves and you're here to answer questions that the Americans want to know in a timely form. But it is not my job to tell the president that you're wrong. You said this at this situation. How do you reply to that? That is not the moderator's job. That's an interview job. And that is a private interview that could have been aired elsewhere, but that is not what you do at a debate.
I agree, Carlos.
And I agree with that. I still think that there needed to be enforcement of the rules.
Well,
and
when everyone's breaking them. When everyone's breaking them. I mean.
So let me put this out there. The reason Chris Wallace started breaking them is because everyone else is breaking them. When you start disobeying the rule of law, it's the whole broken windows thing. What happened was, everyone started breaking windows, so even Chris Wallace just threw in and said, fuck it, if we're going to If we're going to break windows, we're going to break windows.
I disagree with that. I disagree with that because if you look at the first 15 minutes of that debate, when Chris Wallace asked the first questions of Trump, Trump immediately responded within the first, and I've heard this debate three times now, and I believe me, that was not a fun thing to do. It was Trump who then Trump did not attack Biden first. Trump attacked Chris Wallace first. He said, "I didn't realize I was debating you and Trump. I was debating you and Biden." And that's where things went south. That's where the president felt that I am being attacked on both fronts, so I'm going to defend myself and all rules be damned.
Well, and that's where it got disappointing for me. Like, I liked Trump's zingers, but what really frustrated me is when it truly devolved, and honestly, I don't think any of them were... I can't say Chris Wallace was the worst when Trump, for me, was the one that was first one just absolutely.
And Chris, you have every right to feel that way because honestly, everyone for the most part felt that way. And I think that the problem is knowing, I don't want to sound elitist when I say this, but I know Robert's rule of law. I know debates. I know what it means to be a moderator only because of the fact that I've lived it to a certain extent. And when the moderator comes adversarially to one of them, it turns nasty really quick. And it didn't take that long to get nasty really quick because Trump is an adversarial debater. So therefore, if you as a moderator has broken the first rule and you're dealing with a debater who is willing to break all of them, and because you have lacked, I mean, I remember texting Ariana, I was so disappointed in Chris Wallace because had he kept the sanctity of the moderator's position, then I would have never been upset with him, but he didn't. He then antagonized, and he did not only antagonize, he laughed with his opponent, and on top of that, decided to give his opponent the leeway. I mean, for it's out of my mind to think that, in my viewpoint, Biden, answer the question, yes or no, will you pack the court? And a non-answer is not an answer.
And then he tried to hold Trump's feet to the fire in the question about the white supremacist and the law.
Which Trump has been misquoted. Trump was misquoted when it was Biden. Oh, I ran for president because he said there are good people on both sides. And I'm like, well, did you read the full quote? And he already disavowed in the same quote he disavowed. And I don't understand where Chris Wallace's perspective is, you have to disavow white supremacy.
But that goes to the contrast. When Biden was asked about the court, he didn't ask for a yes or no answer from Biden. He didn't press for one. But when Trump had a yes or no answer, no, is a yes or no. Will you denounce? That's the contrast. And people pick up on that. And people
And Chris, I understand where you're coming from. I know that the debate seemed like Trump was being that way. And believe me, there were times, and I told this to Ariana, I wish that he would just not respond. But
let Biden get lost in his own thoughts. It's
unless he's taking Adderall.
And that would have been the fun part.
Unless he's taking it's Adderall. But so... Yes. But that's besides the point. I think that Chris Wallace did a piss poor job in his organization of questions. I think he did a piss poor job in the way that he decided that he was part of the starship of the show. And he is not the star of the show. And he should never be the star of the show. And I think that that's something people don't realize. And it's so hard to describe that.
You saw that Chris Wallace got a lot of hate even from his colleagues.
Oh, I know that. Right? I also know that he also wrote to the New York Times that the debate was a loss for America, which made me more infuriated because it's the fact that your ego didn't decide. I mean, if Chris Wallace came out and said, listen, maybe my line of questioning wasn't a right one. Maybe I should have rethought that. And maybe had I done that, the debate would have been better. I would have respected Chris Wallace's entire performance much better.
Yeah, it's only a loss for America because that any little reputation he had left in the conservative public was destroyed. That's why it's a loss for America.
And let's think that the thing is that as far as the other side goes, it's like, and I said this to my friend this afternoon, had the president had, let's say Trump Jr., right? Right? So Trump Jr. goes to China and goes to Russia, takes up major roles at two energy companies during Daddy's reign and makes horribly amounts of money doing so. And by the way, Daddy then fires the person that's looking into the company that you're part of. How would the left treat Trump if that was the case versus Biden? I can't imagine. I mean, I could see if they thought that the Russia gate was an issue, they would impeach him for that.
It's the double standard and people know it. Look, as far as I'm concerned, no damage was done for Trump. I thought it was very interesting. Of all places, you had
Dennis, I know, Mundo, seriously, a socialist country's liberal TV station saying that Trump won.
Yeah, the second largest Spanish-speaking network in the United States had 66% to 36% saying that Trump had won the debate. That is very interesting.
Isn't that incredible?
Mm-hmm.
But I think that ultimately, when I fell asleep that night, I knew already I'm going to wake up to the New York Times saying that this was a failure of democracy and that Biden obviously won because he was more of a better human being.
Well, we all knew that was going to happen, but what frustrates me is I think Trump in this case accidentally gave them a little bit of ammo, and it would have been more interesting to watch Biden fall off the deep end.
I don't think any real damage was done. But next time, debate number two, I just hope he allows Biden the opportunity to hang himself with his own absentmindedness.
Because no ground was gained. That was the problem. Is this could have been a good turning point to get more. And I think he kind of ruined the opportunity. This was an opportunity lost.
I think that no, and I said this to you, Ariana, very early on, no independent voter was swayed by this debate.
No independent voter at this point is going to be swayed by any of this. Debates have very limited impact on voters nowadays.
Yes, but I think that for the first time, and by the way, for anyone saying that this is the worst debate in American history, I'm like, you obviously don't know your history. There are more contentious ones. This is just the first really contentious one in a very long time. That's all it is.
Like what, Jefferson?
No, I'm thinking more like Teddy Roosevelt versus his own party. When he called his predecessor, his Supreme Court justice, the Chief Justice Taft, you are a failure to humankind. So I think that in terms of insults and disparities done in politics, it's no different to what we're used to as far as historical perspective.
And I want to discuss this for a second. I just want to see discuss the optics. You had Trump, very tall man, healthy girth.
According to Pelosi, he's obese, but that's okay. We'll call it her healthy girth, whatever that means.
compared to this frail, very sad looking man who once was probably charismatic but not so much anymore, who loses his train of thought and who just looks like one of those guys that tells you to get off their lawn.
Well, I think that there's also kind of this perspective, right? And I think, you know, the funny part is that I saw in a article today that the Black Entertainment Television CEO, the BET CEO, said that I'd rather the devil that I know as opposed to the devil I don't know, and therefore I'm voting for Trump. And that's very telling, right? Because it's interesting that the Black community is making that kind of assertion to someone who's been in office for 47 years, but it's the same person who passed the largest incarceration act ever made in American history. And it's baffling to me. It's just baffling to me.
Look, if Telemundo's polls are any indication, and recent polls polling Black Americans are any indicator of how it will turn out in November, we're safe to say that we're going to get at least 20% of Hispanics and 20% of
And 45% of the LGBTQ community. The new poll suggests that 45% of us are in agreement.
I just wish that someone would play over and over again the Biden quote of, if you haven't
you ain't
said
black.
You're going to vote for me, then you ain't black.
Oh, no. And that's the thing that I wish that the race discussion was like, well, Joe, you know, I don't expect you to vote for me just because you're black. I wish that comment was made.
Well, Carlos, thanks for joining the conversation. Are you watching next week's
debate? Yes, I get to hear a very angry woman go after a very, very nice man. I can't wait to see what that's all about, but I can't stand her. I mean, if I can kind of stand Biden, but Harris, much less so.
Definitely.
I don't know. I feel like this is going to be a snooze fest.
Without the main actors?
Well, some nerds in this conversation are looking forward to it. Come on, Chris.
Join the nerd crowd.
I mean, I'll watch it, but it's just going to be like, okay, one of them's very sleepy, and the other one is just going to be like going off on a tangent. But it's just going to be like, okay, whatever.
Oh, I you like, know how I see her?
I'll be able to fall asleep.
I see her as
the,
you know, the screaming, one of the screaming animals. You're racist! You can't understand anything! You're ridiculous! And I'm just like, I'm just here because I love being here.
I hate you!
That's how I see that debate going.
Oh, that's good, Carlos. I give you credit for that.
But because it's so predictable what she's going to say, that's why it's going to make me fall asleep. Like, Trump is funny. So I'm going to be, I was entertained within the first, like, not even the first 5 minutes, and I'm already laughing my butt off. Whereas that debate, it's going to put me
well,
to sleep.
I think
so
Mike
won't have entertainment value.
I don't, yeah, but I don't think Pence will be even given a word. It's just like, you're racist. I have an idea. You're a son of a bitch. I really wish I could say what I don't care what you have to say. That's exactly what's going to happen.
Sure. And which case, so number one, I'll take a good laugh. Number two, I will take some really serious policy discussion. But in this case, we're going to get neither. That's what's going to disappoint me.
I agree, but all we'll right. wait and see. Guys, thanks for coming on the show. We'll wait and see.
No, thank you for
Carlos,
having me.
Thanks for coming on, Chris.
Yay.
And
absolutely.
We'll talk to
bye.
You next week, guys. Hey guys, thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy the segment. Want to thank Chris Alvarez, my husband, for being on the show. And of course, our favorite pundit that we always bring on for these interesting exchanges, Carlos Fernandez, historian and interior designer. Always appreciate their opinions and perspectives. So thank you so much for listening in. And again, we'll see what happens. We'll see you next week at the Biden
how the Biden campaign navigates the situation. We'll see next week at the debate what happens between Pence and Harris and how Harris deals with this news of the president's infection. So we'll just have to wait and see. It's definitely interesting political times, but it goes to show you, October surprise, October 2nd. It came that early, folks. All right, guys, take care. Remember, we're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and wherever you hear your podcasts. And spread the word. Remember, we're not your dad's political news show. So your friends, your siblings, your husbands that may be looking for an alternative way to listening to news, make sure you recommend us. We're having such a great time doing this show, and it's really been very fun and a wonderful experience. And you guys have made it a success, so thank you to you. All right, guys, thanks for tuning in. We'll talk to you next week.